Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning and make your way to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to find ourselves this morning, and over the next number of weeks together, we'll be walking our way through the book of Philippians. As we're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Who is the most joyful person that you know? Isn't it interesting that there's immediate names that come to mind? Let me ask you this. Who's the most unjoyful person? No, don't answer that. You don't want to answer that this morning. You know, if you think about it, there are what we would call pessimist and they're optimist. You know, the pessimist looks at the glass and they see that it's half empty. The optimist looks at the glass and they see that it's half full. The joyful person is just happy there's a glass with water in it. I've told you before that Pastor Scott, our worship pastor, is one of the most joyful people that I know. And I think that helps him in leading us in worship. I think that oozes out of him. And what we're going to see over the next number of weeks together as we walk our way through the book of Philippians, as we look at, truthfully, a letter that Paul wrote that is just saturated with joy. If you could ring out the book of Philippians, you would find joy. As we head into 2018, I want us to be a joyful people. I want us to experience in our own lives a true sense of joy. And what we'll recognize as we look at what Paul has to write, as we look at what Paul would say to us, is that joy is not wrapped up in our circumstances. Now, happiness is oftentimes wrapped up in our circumstances, and if we have good circumstances, then we're happy about it. If we're walking through difficult circumstances, we're not happy about it. And you may be coming in this morning, and you've walked through a difficult 2017. Maybe you've lost a loved one, or maybe you lost a job, or any number of other things that made this past year incredibly difficult for you. But here's the thing, joy is not tied up in our circumstances. In fact, as we'll see Paul emphasize, joy, true joy, is wrapped up in who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. So we see what Paul would say to us as we walk our way through the book of Philippians. I want us to focus in this morning on Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. If you're new to North River Church, let me let you know that week in and week out, we open up God's Word and we read a portion of it and then we look at what God would say to us. That's our pattern, and so you can be comforted in knowing that every single week we're going to open God's Word, we're going to teach from God's Word, we're going to apply God's Word to our lives, because here's what you know and here's what I know, hopefully. I'm not creative enough or talented enough to share something with you week in and week out apart from God's Word that's going to have any lasting value in your life. And so week in and week out, we're going to open God's Word, because His promise to us is that when His Word is proclaimed, it doesn't return void. It accomplishes what it's meant to accomplish. And I'm confident this morning that God's Word needs to accomplish things in our life related to this issue of joy. And so I want to read for us verses 1 through 11 of Philippians chapter 1. I want to pray, and then I want us to walk back through it together. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see. You'd open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our minds and our hearts that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, it's interesting about the book of Philippians because, as I mentioned earlier, Paul's writing this from actually very difficult circumstances. In fact, as you look through the book of Acts and you see Paul's missionary journeys that are contained there, when you come to Acts chapter 28, you realize that Paul is imprisoned in Rome. In fact, he is chained to a Roman soldier, and it's at this point in time, as he's chained to this Roman soldier, as he's under house arrest in prison, as he is not sure, not certain whether he is going to live or going to die, Paul pens this letter that we call Philippians. So if anyone had any right in a certain situation or certain circumstance to not be very joyful, Paul has that right. And yet, we're going to see as we work our way through the book of Philippians that joy oozes off every single page and every single word that we read. See, regardless of Paul's circumstances, in fact, he would say this in other places, in every single circumstance, I've learned to be content with what God has given me. Paul has joy even in the midst of difficulty. The greeting that we see beginning the book of Philippians is that Paul and Timothy, who are servants of Christ Jesus, they're the writers of this, they're the ones who are together, who are looking ahead at this letter that's about to be written, and it's to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons, and the greeting Paul gives, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice beginning in verse 3, Paul offers on behalf of the Philippians, the believers that are there in Philippi, this prayer. And I want you to know that for me as a pastor, seeing Paul's heart for this group of believers in Philippi is incredible. To see his affection for them, to see his heartbeat for them, to continue on in what God has called them to do, to see just the sense here of the weight of Paul's desire for these believers in Philippi to continue pursuing after the Lord and to continue experiencing what God has in store for them, to grab hold of the joy that's available in Christ. For me as a pastor, it is incredibly, incredibly challenging to see his heart for this group of believers, his love for them, his passion for them. In fact, church, this is what Paul writes here, this prayer on behalf of the believers in Philippi is a prayer that I pray for our church family every day because it models for us what we should be about. And it reminds me of the heart that I should have towards you as God's people gathered here at North River Church. And so Paul writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. You know, there's an interesting thing about memories. You have memories about certain events in your life, and many of you probably have memories about church. Some of those memories may not be very good. Amen or ouch. Sometimes church people are not very nice. Can we just all put that out there? You don't want to raise your hand, that's okay. But here's the thing about this group of believers in Philippi. In fact, they were an incredible, incredible church. In fact, as you look back at the book of Acts in chapter 16, you'll see Paul and Silas making their trip to this area called Philippi, this area called Macedonia, and they went into this city and they began sharing the gospel. They began telling people about who Jesus is and what he's done. And as they're sharing, this lady named Lydia comes to faith in Christ, and her entire household comes to faith in Christ. And so this little church in Philippi is born at this point. And then as we read on in Acts chapter 16, we realize that Paul, as he's sharing the gospel, encounters this demon-possessed girl, which those are always fun, right? How do you work through that? This demon-possessed girl who is following Paul and Silas and declaring to everyone that's around, these men are following after the true God. And so Paul cast the demon out of this girl, and the owners who were using this girl and the demon possession to garner money for themselves get upset because their money source is now dried up. And so they throw Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi. As they're sitting in prison, God shows up. As they're singing hymns and they're praising the Lord, their chains fall off and the doors swing open to the prison, and Paul and Silas have the ability to walk out, and yet they choose not to. And as a result of that decision, the Philippian jailer and his household come to faith in Christ. And we see this church born in this city called Philippi. You got to know, as Paul is nearing what may very well be the end of his life, thinking that he may be imprisoned and face execution, he thanks God in all his remembrance of those people, those dear, sweet saints, many of them that he had led personally to the Lord in Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with what, church? Joy. Now just pause and ask yourself a quick question. When you pray, and I've asked myself this question, when I pray, would I characterize my prayer life with joy? Oftentimes, I would characterize my prayer life with anxiety. Can we all be honest for a second? We pray because something's going on, right? A difficulty we're experiencing. We're struggling through something. We have a decision that we need to make, and we're not really sure what decision to make. And yet, Paul here says that he's making this prayer with joy. And as we walk our way through the rest of the verses, if you're taking notes this morning, go ahead and write this down, and we're going to focus in on verses 5 and 6. We can pray for other believers with joy when we recognize what we see here in verses 5 and 6, that they are all partakers, that they are all partners in the gospel. Notice what he says in verse 5, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, this partnership in the gospel that Paul talks about is, very simply put, Paul had come with Silas into Philippi with a purpose, with a mission. It was to fulfill the great commission that Jesus had left his disciples to tell people about what Christ had done so that they come to faith in him, to disciple them, to teach them, to baptize them, and then to send them out to transform the culture in which they find themselves. And so what Paul says here is that these believers that he has such fond affection for, that they are partners with him in the gospel. Now, if you think about it for a little bit, you'll realize that Paul's joy in praying for these believers is very much tied to the reality that they are partners with him in this gospel endeavor. Here's the thing that calls me to focus in on about us as a group of believers called North River Church. We are partners together in the ministry of the gospel. You know, Dave Ramsey says the only ship that won't sail is a partnership. But I want you to hear, church, we collectively, as a group of believers called North River Church, right here, right now, 2018, we are partners together in the ministry of the gospel in this community. Meaning that we are locking arms together, sharing with other people who Christ is and what he's done in our lives, with the hope that they would meet Jesus themselves and that he would transform their lives, and they would lock arms with us and continue to saturate this community with what Christ has done. Paul prays for these believers, and he does it with joy because he realizes and he recognizes that they are partners with him in the gospel ministry. Church, we are partners in the gospel ministry right here. You look at the person to your left and you look at the person to your right, and if we see them the way Paul sees these believers, we'll see them as partners with us in the ministry of the gospel here that God has called us to. Meaning that we are locking arms with one another and we are saturating this community with who Jesus is and what he has done. He makes his prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Not only did these believers partner with Paul in the specific city in which they found themselves, the city of Philippi, but as Paul left Philippi and continued on in his other missionary journeys, this church in Philippi financially supported him as he left. Not only that, they also financially supported the church that was struggling within Jerusalem as well. Paul would later praise them for their giving. He would praise them for their generosity. See, they didn't just say, we'll show up at church and we'll do things here. They looked beyond just these walls and they realized there was an entire world that needed to come to faith in Christ. And they partnered with Paul in the ministry of the gospel. Notice what he says about them in verse 6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing to say. Paul says, listen, we're partners in the gospel. And if you've ever had a partner, maybe when you were in school and you had to work on a project together, you had partners, some of them didn't really pull their weight, right? You may have a business partner and you're thinking, I end up pulling all of my weight in this thing. And yet Paul says about these partners in the gospel that he is confident of something, that God who began a good work in them is going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He says, this partnership is going to succeed. This partnership is going to end in such a way that when we meet Jesus face to face, Paul says, we're going to be perfect. We're going to be equipped for everything that is to come. Realize, church, that's true for you and for me if we're followers of Jesus this morning. You know, one of the things that's difficult to measure as a pastor is whether or not people are growing spiritually. Listen, you can count numbers on Sunday morning. You can look at offering and you can count numbers. You can look at outreach and you can count numbers. You can look at how many people joined and you see the numbers there, how many people are baptized. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but it's difficult for us. We talk about this as a church staff. It's difficult for us to measure, truly measure, whether you are growing spiritually in your personal walk with the Lord. And yet this gives all of us encouragement. Paul says these partners in the gospel ministry, these believers in Philippi, he's confident that the work that God began in their lives, he's going to bring it to completion. And for me as a pastor, that's something that I am able to rest in. That the work, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, the work that God began in you, God is going to bring that work to completion. And the joy is I get to experience that with you. Sometimes heading straight uphill and it looks amazing, and sometimes it's three steps back. Maybe you need a kick in the pants, right? But yet it's the realization that the work that God has begun in you, Paul says, he's going to bring it to completion. So he can pray with joy because they're partners in the ministry of the gospel. But here's the second truth. He begins in verse 7 and verse 8. He talks about the fact that they are fellow partakers of grace. Notice verse 7. It is right, Paul says, for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul's able to pray with joy for these believers in Philippi because he's confident not only that they're partners with him in the gospel, not only that the work God began in them he's going to bring to completion, but also the fact that they have experienced the same grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul experienced. Now, let's remember who Paul is. Paul is probably the greatest missionary the church has ever known. Wrote about half of the New Testament. I mean, if anyone had experienced God's grace, you would look and say, Paul had experienced God's grace. But I want you to notice that what Paul says is that these other believers that he's writing to have experienced God's grace just like he has. As you think about that this morning, you may sit back and wrongly think, well, Michael, since you're a pastor, or Pastor Scott, since you're a pastor, or Pastor Adam, since you're a pastor, like you have this direct line with God, right? People have said that before. They say, Pastor, I've been praying about this, but I'm sure you got a direct line, so can you pray about this for me? I want you to notice what Paul says. The reason that he's able to pray for joy with these believers in Philippi is because he recognizes, he understands that Paul's not on this greater level than where they are, but he says, no, we are all partakers of grace. We have all experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. We have all been privileged to be sinners separated from God, except that Jesus Christ, through his grace, has made it possible for us to have a relationship with him. What an amazing thing to think that if there's a believer sitting beside you, that they've experienced the same grace of God that you've experienced. That your pastor standing up on stage preaching this morning has experienced the same grace of God that's transformed his life that you've experienced that's transformed your life. Realize there's no hierarchy in the grace department when it comes to God. We've all, if we've trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, all experienced, all partaken of the grace made available to us through Jesus. What an amazing, amazing reality. And Paul says that because of that, because of recognizing that they are all partakers with me of grace, that he yearns for them all the affection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. So Paul can pray with joy because they're partners in the gospel. He can pray for joy because they're partakers of grace. But here's the third truth, that he can pray for joy because they're progressing in Christ's likeness. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul prays with joy because he recognizes that they are partnering together in the gospel ministry, and the work that God has begun in them he's going to bring to completion. As I think about that, I think about us as a church family who have only existed together for about 7 years. God began a work about 7 years ago in the life of this faith family. And here's the good news, the encouraging news. He's going to bring that work to completion. We're partners together in the gospel, and that's what Paul prays on behalf of these believers. They're partakers of grace. We've all experienced the grace of God in our lives if we trusted Jesus for salvation. But Paul closes out and he says, listen, I know also that they are progressing in Christ's likeness. And that's his desire, that they would grow to look more and more like Jesus every single day. If you could set any resolution this year. Some of you are thinking, I need to lose weight. Ditto, right? I need to make more money. I need to spend less money. All kinds of resolutions that we could make, all kinds of things that we could think about. But if we could put one at the top of the list, it should be that we, through 2018, and as we get to the end of 2018, that we would look more like Jesus on December 31st, 2018 than we did January 1st of 2018. Church, that's my prayer for myself, and that's my prayer for you, and that's Paul's prayer for these believers in Philippi, that they would continue to grow in Christ-likeness. They would look more like Jesus tomorrow than they did today. He says for them that they would approve what is excellent. They'd be pure and blameless. They would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Church, may we, as we move into 2018, as we walk through this year, may we experience what Paul says about the believers in Philippi. May we truly be partners together in the gospel ministry. May the work that God began in us be brought to completion. May we recognize that we are partakers of grace. We have all experienced, if we've trusted in Christ for salvation, the grace, amazing grace that we sang about. And may we recognize that we are moving forward to look more and more like Jesus every single day. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and ask the band to make their way back up. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it challenges us, Father, we thank you that it encourages us. And Father, we ask this morning that you would remind us once again, new and fresh, of the joy that's made available through Christ. That we would recognize and that we would see, that we would understand, and we would taste fresh and new again the reality that we're partners together in the gospel. Father, that all of us who claim the name of Christ this morning have experienced amazing grace. God, that you are working in our lives today to make us more and more like your Son. Father, may that bring hope for us, joy for us, encouragement in our lives. Father, if there's one here this morning that has never taken that step of trusting in Jesus for salvation, may today be the day for them. I can think of no better time than at the beginning of this year for a life to be transformed by what Christ has done. So, Father, as we pray for one another, may we do it with joy. Father, may you remind me, as the pastor of this body of believers, of the joy that you're at work in their lives. Father, we thank you for what Christ has done. And we lift this all up in his name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, if you will. Have a chance to sing as we close out. If you need to talk with someone, I'll be at the back. Love to talk with you. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to share with you what that looks like. But you respond to the Lord. You worship the Lord.